All right, so we're here with what will be first episode. This is going to be kind of a prototype since we still have to work on a name for it. But yeah, so this will be our new thing. Just a couple of guys with a podcast. Nothing.
A couple of friends.
Nothing someone have seen before.
You know, we agree on most everything. So. But you know, occasionally you're wrong, and I'm right. So there's that as well.
And occasionally I'm right, and you're right too. And that makes for a perfect opportunity for anyone to jump in.
Those are a few and far between, but yes, I see what you're saying.
So, I wanted to kind of get into it just because... I think it'll be more coherent for us to kind of just get into what we're going to be doing. Like what's the reasoning for this? And I think the main reasoning is just because we've always talked about wanting to start this. We've always talked about wanting to get into it and have like a podcast we can do where we just talk about stuff, because we just do that every night anyways. So this is kind of a unfocused podcast. There won't really be too much focus in anything, but we'll cover a lot of different topics.
You know, let's talk about. We're knowledgeable guys.
We're kind of knowledgeable guys.
Any topic out there, we got opinions on it.
So anyways, our first opener should be the three steps.
Of course. No, that would be one of my steps, actually, if we did that. We could talk about a few things. Sure. We could talk about housing.
That is extremely relevant as of right now.
Yeah. You actually got me looking. I went on a walk today.
Okay.
And so I was like keeping my eyes peeled for sale signs, because you know I've noticed them in the past, but I've never really looked at them. I just wanted to see like what you could get for the amounts that you've discussed and that you showed me. Mm-hmm. Would get you a manor here. You would have an estate.
There is a drastic difference of living in California and just about anywhere else in the United States.
Yeah. I literally, excluding Hawaii. Yes, I think statewide, I'm sure prices in Manhattan are crazy, but
yeah, that's fair.
But
housing, like houses in Manhattan, you think?
Yeah, you can buy. Yeah. They're not like traditional standalone homes, but you know, like condos, they are. You know, effectively the same as buying a home.
Mm. Yeah, that's fair. I guess I'd have to kind of know more about the housing market in Manhattan to speak on it. But I mean, I'm also not in like a super prestigious part of California. So
no,
I'm not in LA. I'm not in San Fran, not San Diego, not, you know, anywhere that's major city.
The Bay Area would be crazy, right? And then I would assume Beverly Hills lives up to the name, right?
Probably.
But yeah, so, I mean, it's just crazy. When I had moved back here, I had considered buying a home.
Mm-hmm.
I am just so afraid of the bubble popping. But the problem is that, like we discussed last night, that fear, I do think for sure it will pop, unless the government does something and intercedes and they do some kind of intervention that I can't possibly know what that would look like. But, you know, if left to its own devices, the housing market will pop, but it could be this year or it could be in 10 years. You know what I mean? Or I guess, you know, there's just no knowing. And so,
yeah.
Because I was like, I could buy a home here. Then when I'm ready to move in a year or two or whenever, I go to sell. I mean, that's just, you know, gains on the investment. But no, it's just too sketch, man. For because I don't need one. If you need one for a family, then I think it's totally reasonable.
Yeah, which is part of the problem, right? It's like part of the main problem is wanting to think about waiting for the housing bubble to pop as it is, but like I also am so deathly afraid of what if it does not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cuz it's like I take the risk, right? Like we had said, right? If I can talk them down for that one house for a price that I'm looking for, yeah. I'll feel great. Unless the bubble pops and now I'm in a house that, you know, I am paying a lot more than it would have been worth, and now I'm kind of in trouble. Or not more or less in trouble, just kind of like sad.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're not in trouble until you would go to sell it and you would be like, wow, I'm getting, you know, 70% of what I paid for this. But, you know, and the house will be older. And mm-hmm. So,
which is, I guess that is kind of a thing where it's like, it's not that big of a problem for a fellow like me. It's like, it's not going to be something that I'm going to have to worry too much about, because I have told Lanita about it before. Is I know that the day we move into a house was the day I was like, that will be my home. I don't think I'm gonna want to move. I'm just gonna want to live in my home.
And I agree with you. I've seen the steps up close. And they stare back.
Listen, I know.
So that is my only concern.
I'm aware. Don't worry. But I feel like, I mean, here's the one truth, right? Try as I might, I won't be leaving Fresno anytime soon. It is. Sure. It's where I live. It is where I will be. I am here. I might have tried over the past like 5 to 6 years, but it is destiny.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think would you follow your kids somewhere? Like if they. Well, I assuming they both go to a same place, which why would they do that? They would, maybe they would, but like, would you follow your kids around? You know what I mean? You understand what I'm saying? The thrust of the question.
I understand what you're saying. Would I follow my kids around? Depending on the college they went to? No. Right? Like, again, not even depending on the college. Like if it was the college they went to, say Raylene goes to not Stanford, that's too close. Stanford would still be pretty close to where we are now. Say I don't know.
University of Arizona.
There you go. They go to A State. There you go. They want to be like their G-Paw. If they went to A State, I would not follow them down there because it's college. There's a chance they might just come back after they get a college education, but there's also a chance they just go somewhere and get a career job. If they join the military, obviously I'm not following them around because I know that wherever they go, it's only a matter of time.
I would be surprised if they do. I read, I don't know the validity of this stat, but a lot of times children of service members don't join, like specifically because like they, like that's not something that's carried on. I mean, I know it happens, and like we know of specific examples of that, but I think the overall statistic is that it doesn't happen.
That's fair. Yeah, I think that's a good point, especially because it's like, you know what it is, and I've noticed this a lot. Perhaps this is a like stat someone has or someone's researched, is I've noticed a lot of grandchildren.
Yeah, it like I was just thinking that it like or like, yeah, it skips generations, or like for me, like my uncle was like the one that kind of talked to me about the military. It's like it's not a direct, it's not a parent thing. Yeah. It's like a, that's interesting.
Yeah, just that just popped into my head. But the whole housing thing is like, I don't think I would be following them anywhere. Unless it was, like you said, assuming they both went to the same place.
Well, yeah, which, why would they do that?
There's not much of a reason for them to do that. Unless they both went to the same college.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
And then they both found jobs in the city they were in.
Yeah, your oldest would be out.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say what will happen. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, odds are most people don't leave the town they grew up in.
Well.
So odds are, I mean, look at us.
Look at us.
look at us. Berlin, Fresno. It's you think you're out of the net. It's we really are the case of, yeah, I got out of there and I'm never going back.
Yep.
And then it's like a frame later, guess I'm back. Yeah, it's most people stay where they grew up, so they'll probably just stay there. Which is kind of interesting because I've thought about not to get deep, but I've like held some kind of resentment to my mom about that, where it's like, out of all the states you could have chose, you picked like literally the poorest. And like, and so you've like locked us down here, but that's not her fault. Her parents did that, and presumably so on and so forth. It's just like a never ending. It's like when you go to some shithole, you know, let's say New Orleans as an example, and you're like, why would someone live here? And it's like, well, their parents did, and the parents before them, and it just doesn't stop. And I guess I understand that. I mean, it's just the easy thing to do, and you don't want to like leave everyone.
And I mean, the one true fact is when we lived in Alabama, we had planned on staying in Alabama if we could, but at the same time, you cannot deny the ability to rely on parents. And it's like, that is,
yeah, yeah. Well, kids change any plan.
Yeah,
so that's fair.
You know about that.
Just the thought of them is like, you know, my plans would be crazy. So yeah.
Yeah, kids do change your plans a lot, especially when it's like, oh, this could be made 10 times more convenient and affordable for me. Yes, I'll take that action, please. So.
I've pulled up some... I don't think this would be good, because nothing like a visual portion of this, right?
I mean,
we'll wait on this.
I'll say this much. If you were going to do a visual portion, I don't think that would be a problem. I do think that we could eventually set something up so that I can have like a recording on.
Yeah. Like it's your screen.
Yeah. That way it's like, it's at least showing something so I can pull it up at any time.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have our webcams as well. That would make sense.
Yeah.
All right, we'll wait on this.
Yeah, that's
I'll show you this to you later. But
you're gonna want to look at this.
You're going to want to see this. Captain, you're going to want to see this.
You show me. I'm just completely silent. The podcast is just a silence for 5 minutes. How interesting.
What rare game would you want them to bring back? Because you know that the reason why I brought that, you know that video on Sea of Thieves where that guy's like, Captain, and he's like, what look, and it's just like a galleon cresting the horizon. And then I was like, man, would Sea of Thieves 2 be any good? And it's just like, well, if Rare was working on something, I wouldn't want it to be Sea of Thieves 2. And then I was like, well, what would I want it to be on? This is all why you were yapping about something. I don't know. But so yeah, what do you think?
I like to imagine you're just playing Balatro while I'm talking at all times.
You should know better than that. You couldn't catch my eyes on Balatro.
Not my game of the year. Conkers? I think in the demographic we live in today, I think a Banjo-Kazooie would be interesting, but they'd really have to like revamp Banjo-Kazooie. But you could probably make Conkers pretty successfully in today's demographic.
Why would they need to revamp Banjo-Kazooie? Why couldn't they just... you don't think a Banjo-Kazooie would absolutely sell on the Switch 2? I think it would.
Banjo 3?
Yeah, on the Switch 2. Would sell like hotcakes, brother.
I think it would sell on name alone. Dude, going back to housing. I think anything that is based off name alone doesn't necessarily justify how good it's gonna be. So like you're asking a question of like, oh, what do you wish they they worked on? And if it was Banjo-3, I would hope that it was actually worked on. I would hope that they didn't just release, hey, here's Banjo-Kazooie 1 and 2, but a third version. I would want, kind of in the way that Mario kind of re-identifies itself with every like new game and has a new gimmick, I would want Banjo 3 to kind of cross that gap of, what's it been, like almost 25 years since Banjo 2-y? Yeah.
Well, are we counting nuts and bolts?
No.
Yeah, it's been 25 years, yeah.
To the dot.
Yep.
Oh, 2000. Oh my god. I'm kind of a gamer.
But I mean, that new Donkey Kong looks amazing. And yes, it has its name, but it also just looks like it's going to be great.
Yeah, but look, no Donkey Kong game looks like that. No Donkey Kong game is Minecraft.
I don't think that didn't look like Minecraft. No, destructible environments, but
that's the joke, though, right? Is you watch him dig straight down, and you're Minecraft. But no Donkey Kong game looks like that game. Tropical Freeze does not look like that game. Donkey Kong 64 does not look like that game. Honestly,
Donkey Kong 64 was 3D though, right?
It was 3D, but it was.
Kind of looks like that.
It's a good game. I don't want to.
It got,
I'll stand on business. You know what? Donkey Kong 3 was terrible. Or Donkey Kong 64 was terrible.
Well, not enough collectibles.
Not enough collectibles. It was. So I watched Vine Sauce. I watched him play a version of it where you could change your monkeys on the fly. Like you just hit a button and it changed the monkey. And I was like, that immediately made the game better.
Okay, here's my take on that. You got to think about for the time, okay? A kid getting Donkey Kong 64, that's like one of their four games that they have, right?
And Bumble.
Yeah, of course. And so, two, they needed to make that game. They needed to stretch it out as much as possible. And so having you do all those different things with different characters, I think is actually, at the time, that was great.
Sure. I mean, you're probably not... I understand what you're saying. I disagree with the assessment of it. If only because there are so many other games that aren't needlessly wasting your time in that same fashion.
Okay, like GoldenEye or something?
Like a GoldenEye, a Mario 64, a Star Fox, a Legend of Zelda, a Sonic. You have plenty of games of that same era that you're not having to needlessly go back, switch something just so you can go collect something else so that you can activate another switch to go back, switch out your character again to go back to that same area that you just unlocked. It's like there's...
You kind of are doing that in Zelda. You have to switch timelines, right? Young Link.
So,
and shit, you are doing that.
Not as often as you're making it sound, though. Because you could beat Legend of Zelda by playing as Young Link. You turn into an adult. There comes a point where the well opens up, and now you're like, oh, let me go be a kid so I can get the Lens of Truth. You get the Lens of Truth, which is not just like a valuable item for you to go on, but once you've unlocked that, you never have to be Young Link again for the rest of the game. Oh. It is one time where that is a thing you have to do.
Okay, I didn't realize that.
But... yeah. Whereas, like, if you really wanted to get technical with that, you could have said, like, Majora's Mask, right? Majora's Mask is, okay, I have to do this thing on a specific day in-game at a specific hour. And if you miss it, you gotta start all the way back over. But you can manage time a lot easier. So it is easy for you to accomplish those things at the time given. And so the game is still linear. Whereas Donkey Kong 64 was such a... just mind-boggling amount of times you had to switch a character to do something. And it wasn't like it was readily available for you. You had to, like, travel to, like, three different rooms just to go switch your monkey. And then...
that's for if you're wanting to perfect it, right? You don't have to do that in a standard... okay, let me look here. Time to beat.
I'm sure there's, like, crazy speedruns of it, too.
Oh, sure, sure. All right, the median for main story, 25 hours.
Holy crap.
That's a long... that's 25 hours for an N64 game is a... that's pretty meaty. And that completionist, 31. Or 32, really.
Yeah, that's...
compared to... let's look at how long to beat Majora's Mask.
Majora's Mask is pretty meaty.
They're saying 25 hours.
I was going to say, yeah, it's pretty... Majora's Mask is
pretty meaty. But the reason why I think there's value in this that people don't understand is, people making this argument, is when you're a kid and you get, you know, a game on your birthday or a couple games at Christmas or something, you want getting a meaty 30 hours out of it is pog. Like, even if so, and so, if you're saying that, though, they could have done it better.
What I'm saying is I agree with, yeah, getting that kind of game is nice. There's a level of annoyance that comes with it.
needlessly. I see what you're
saying. Yeah, it is so needlessly time wasting.
So I guess Majora's Mask is about the same time to beat, but doesn't feel nearly as a slog.
Yeah, because there is a linear path that you can follow to complete everything you're trying to do.
Got it.
There's no there's no wasting your time just to waste your time.
Yeah, the completionist run of Majora's Mask is even longer. That's 38 hours.
I can imagine. Because, I mean, collecting every single mask it takes a while.
We're talking about two games I've never played.
Which is funny. But, I mean, yeah, if there was a rare game I wish they brought back, I think Banjo-Kazooie or, as we just talked about, I think a Donkey Kong 64 redone would go so hard, it's crazy.
What are you talking about? It is, this new Donkey Kong is Donkey Kong 64 redone.
And it might be. But you just play as Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
Unless there's more. You never know.
We don't know that. We don't know.
Brother, I see Donkey Kong jump in a barrel and switch to Diddy. One of my steps is gone.
Bringing Diddy back in 2025 is going to be rough.
they should do Cranky Kong, but it's Diddy. So instead of like old Donkey Kong, it's actually just an old like monkey. Just old Diddy.
Dude, fucking 100 Marios versus one Donkey Kong.
Shut up. God. It's a gorilla. He can lift what, like a ton?
All right. Well, I think that was something. What else we got here on the docket?
You want to escape this as quickly as possible?
There's nothing more to say. I think we've got there.
You didn't say Perfect Dark. I'm angry now.
I think we got no. We got the bottom of it. In that you want them to do the thing they're already doing, which is remaking Donkey Kong.
But that's not rare. It's not the rare brand.
Yeah.
I'm not getting Grant Kirkhope making beautiful music. I'm getting someone who probably goes by the name Tetsura and his last name.
Mm.
And he's making the music.
Dude, if you're not turning the music all the way down, are you even gaming?
Good God.
Are you even gaming? All right. Well, what now? You got anything on your mind?
Well, I mean, we were talking for a little bit about housing. And you said you were taking a look around. I kind of... feel like this would be an interesting concept, but I know how busy you are, how much of your time is taken up, how valuable your time is. What is your like 5-year plan financially? What do you see?
This is brutal. You're coming at me like...
Dude, I'm coming out swinging.
That's crazy. My 5-year plan, huh? Well, I'm not gonna get too into the weeds about this, but I can get an overarching.
Of course.
Finish college. Okay. Which will kind of bring me into my career, probably back into the military.
Okay.
Then just continue saving money and investing as I have been. I really hate working. I hate it. I am lazy to my core.
I feel a lot of people would agree with that.
Agree that they are, or agree that I am?
Both. Both.
Got it. And so anything I can do to minimize the amount of my life that I've worked, you know what I mean? I do not have that dog in me. Like, the fact that, like, billionaires are still working blows my mind. If I had $1 billion, I wouldn't lift a finger for anything. It's crazy. Like, you know, and they're still, like, at the grind. They're still, like, 6 days a week. But I guess the fact that I don't have that mentality is why I'll never have $1 billion. It just takes that dog in you.
I think it is, like, there's a certain mindset for each comma that you earn in your life.
Yeah, to a degree. Well, yeah, I think earn is a very key word there.
Yeah. Because I think that that third comma, that's the big one, right?
Yeah.
Because I think your first comma, that's a given, right? You should just be able to get that one. But your second comma, I feel like you've put in some work if you're working with a second comma.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times, I don't think we as a society look favorably enough or reward the act of not spending money. In that's, you know, like, I think working for money is just as admirable as not frivolously spending that money. So,
yeah,
like, you know what I mean? Because, like, I kind of take a look at my wealth as a job, in that I keep it invested, I maintain it, I try to grow it as best I can, and I remain frugal and don't and you know what I mean? Because as long as the less I spend, the more that gets appreciated, then I can invest that interest back into it, which generates more interest. And so, like, remaining diligent and just kind of reserved with that money is my job. That's kind of like, so, that's kind of what I look at, you know, like being responsible.
So do you think if you had a job right now, do you think your overarching desire to be frugal, do you think that slowly slips away?
No.
Because you have a new job now. Or is it just that you do both as a job? You manage your finances.
I think I would just do both. Because all I would do is just use that to maximize. Because I had a job, you know, during all this. And I think I would just use that to continue to grow, to snowball my wealth. Because, mm-hmm. you know. Now, but I also rail against this boomer mentality that everybody's just spending. And the outdated avocado toast thing, right? Like, I don't think that's a meme anymore, but mm-hmm. the idea behind it remains, is that a lot of people think the problem with our generation, or I guess I'll say my generation, is that
same generation
is that people are just spending too much. You know what I mean? They're putting too much on credit, or buy now, pay later, or whatever. And it's just, like, not even close. You know, it's an income issue.
And perhaps this is a bit of a crazy anomaly for maybe both of us, because I don't believe you have any credit debt at all.
No. I don't have any debt. Period.
So that's kind of the funny thing, is because I look at our situation, and we don't have any debt either.
Yeah, that is very rare.
Yeah, we just have
to not have
payments.
Any debt.
like insurance and your normal payments that everyone makes.
You just own your cars?
We own both of our cars.
Yeah, okay, that's Pog, yeah. So
now I'm planning to go a few dollars soon.
Yeah. But that's it. Do you follow Dave Ramsey at all? Are you aware of him as a figure?
I mean, even if I did, no.
He's a really popular financial talking head. Pretty conservative guy. I take issue with a lot of what he says, but I think if you're an individual that's struggling with your spending habits, then his baby steps plan would be good. But yeah, it's mm-hmm. yeah, the fact that you and I have no debt, you know, it's become so prevalent that people don't even think of stuff as debt. So you'll ask someone, do you have any debt? And they'll go, oh no, I don't have any debt. And then it's like, oh, so you don't owe anything on your car? And it's like, well, yeah, I have a car payment. Like, they disconnect. Like, that's not even, that's just a utility almost. Like, yeah, everyone has a car payment. You know what I mean? And it's like, no, that's fucking debt. And it's like,
yeah, like, and that's something I think of very often, like being blessed with that is just the fact that we kind of are on the up and up with a lot of stuff. Like, I firmly believe once I paid off my Mazda, I don't think we've paid another car payment since then, because our cars are awesome. Always paid off.
Yeah. And you notice it. You get a new car and have a car payment and you notice it. I mean, it's impactful.
Yeah. And I mean, and that's kind of the big part is like a lot of the debt that we've had in the past has all pretty much been settled. And so it's like there's not many people that can say that, let alone even if we had a single car payment, that would be my only source of debt.
Yeah.
Because we don't use credit for just about anything. And the credit we do have, anytime we use it, it's paid back almost immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's the way to live. I think, you know, again, if you can, I'm not to presume someone's lifestyle, like, but if you can go without debt, then yeah, I think that's the best way to go.
Mm-hmm. But it's so hard are not hoping, to though.
Yeah, certain. Well, yeah, I mean, it, especially if you gotta get groceries and you don't have money, and you throw that bitch on a credit card, what am I supposed to say to that? You gotta get, you know.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of the times that's not what's happening. I think a lot of times people throw that shit on a credit card because they spent the money on things that weren't groceries and maybe they could, you know, they could have not done that. But again, maybe not. I think the bigger problem is just a lack of income. I mean, we as a generation make so little compared to our grandparents that worked similar impact jobs made. You know what I mean? So like, you know, obviously your job didn't exist in the 50s, right? But let's say a job of similar merit, right? Some kind of administrative thing, you would be getting, you know, in comparison, adjusted for inflation, you would be getting paid way more if you did that. It's just, you know, and that's everyone in America, and I think in the West, is experiencing that, and it's brutal. Yeah. And that's the problem, not the spending habits, even though those are a thing too.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of, I would almost say comparable, the job I have right now, comparable to like, what, someone that was like a bookkeeper or like an accountant, like someone yeah. who managed everyone's account, oversaw investigations. So it's like, yeah, it's an important thing that I do in my current time that, yeah, if you look back at what that was paid back then, I don't want to, it's funny that I'm stopping myself from using bad words, and I don't really know why. That was kind of funny. No, you had people back then who were buying 5-bedroom houses with like 3 beds and
yeah,
3,000 square feet.
Single income. Yeah, their wife would be at home taking care of 5 kids.
Yeah, with their like, Mr. Handy. And it's like, yeah, it's...
Yeah, you would not be able to afford that lifestyle. It's just no one doing a similar job could do that.
And she was still banging the milkman.
It's so fucking true, dude. And that hasn't changed, obviously.
Oof.
But not with you. Or maybe not with the milkman. Maybe that's the comparison.
Well, now, yeah, you okay. gotta worry about your coworkers.
So we've gotten to the bottom of it. Bring back milkmen.
Okay, speak to that.
I think, imagine someone rolls up to your house, like Krillin and Goku, boxes of milk. Okay. You peruse the selection. I don't know what you're looking at. Vitamin D or 2%. Okay. Maybe they have soy milk. You buy gotcha. Your milk from them. I think that makes the world a better place in some way.
And you're discounting the unlimited amount of apps that do that now.
No app does that because
that's what I'm saying. You're saying literally someone who just goes around door to door with milk.
Yeah, because the difference is
you
buy milk on the app. Other than they bring you your purchase. Okay,
yeah.
I don't want that. I don't even want to know the milk. I just want to hear a knock on my door and be offered to purchase milk. Other than I make that purchase.
In glass bottles.
Of course. Well, obviously. But I would assume, did you have swans growing up?
No, what's swans?
My folks had this. My mom paid for this. Let me send it to you. It's like they drive around. They drive around and deliver shit. Schwans. That's what it is.
Schwans.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. Just, well, there's nothing really to sit. Just Google that. And like look at the truck. That would pull up to when we lived in Ohio when I was growing up. This would pull up like once a week and deliver food to us. When I was like, this was like, you know, this was like pre-internet too. This was like, I don't even think they were using the internet for this. This would be like my mom would get a catalog in the mail.
Yellow.
Okay. And she would order like meals for us and like root beer floats and like ice cream and shit like that. Other than they'd just pull up and deliver it and we'd use those for meals.
Huh.
So that, but milk, I guess.
Well, isn't that just like Factor and all that stuff now?
It kind of is. I think Schwann's is still operating though.
That's crazy.
Let me see here. No, closed its operations in November 2024. We just missed it.
Oh, we just missed our chance at Schwann's, dude. Bring back Schwann's.
Yeah, rebranded as Yellow. What a terrible rebrand.
Yeah, I saw Yellow.
I didn't know that. Oh, we just missed it. That sucks. I would have done a Schwann's order.
Dad answering his phone. Yellow.
Let me just say 100% your parents have heard of Schwann's.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure they have. More than likely, if I called them right now, I'm sure they've heard of it.
But
that's funny, man. So bring back Milkman. I
just feel like not enough stuff gets delivered to our houses.
Not
the only guy on Earth saying that.
Not enough stuff.
Yeah,
delivered to us. We need
more. So, like, picture this. Picture this.
Okay.
You could pay a subscription, okay? And, you know, assuming, I mean, most people still have gas cars. You don't have to go to the gas station. A guy just comes around in the mornings with he has a petrol truck, and he just tops off your gas tank at, like, 4 a.m. before you even have to get up. You don't even know it happened. And that's the subscription you pay, is that every morning he swings by, and assuming other people in your neighborhood are paying the same subscription, he just tops up everybody's tanks.
The demand for that would have to be outrageous.
Uh-huh.
But I see what you're saying.
Wouldn't that be interesting? I guess what I've transitioned in here is we're making an app.
we're making an app. It's called Gas.
and I'm just trying to figure out. Yeah, but here's the problem, is we're developing a gas delivery service in on the precipice of electric vehicles. We're like trying to re-innovate the space as it's dying.
What if there was a way to gas up your car through the night? And
so true. What if there was a way to burn the gas in a centralized location and generate electricity and then move that down power lines?
Whoa.
That can't be done. It can't be done.
That's kind of crazy.
That's one thing that boomers always talk about as well, is why have electric cars? All the fuel's still getting burnt at the power plant. You know, not realizing how much more efficient a power plant is at burning a fuel than your little ICE, you know, your little internal combustion engine can. Like, that's the whole thing, right? Is that no matter what you're burning, having one huge engine or one huge, like, steam setup is going to be significantly more efficient than everyone having their own individual engines.
Well, and I feel like you have to address this. I think you have to address exactly what you're looking at, right? You're addressing a generation that was grown to believe the idea of, well, you're already doing this.
Yeah.
What's a little more hurt? Like, that is that generation to a fault, and the generation right after them also kind of falls under that same contamination. Whereas the generation after X is starting to think a little more, hey guys, this is actually bad, and there's a better way.
Millennials are still young, though. I wonder if it has anything to do with, you know, environmental stuff, or it's just people hate change and they like to do the thing they've always done. And so, you know, when you've been alive for 40 or 50 years and everyone's had, you know, gas cars and we've burnt coal and it was fine, and then all of a sudden all these young people are saying it's not fine, you're like, oh, fuck them. I want to keep doing what I want to do.
Dog, I hate to break your heart. Millennials are 40.
Yeah, it doesn't break my heart. No, I see. But I'm saying, like,
and I'm getting there. I'm almost already there. Yeah,
millennials. That's what I'm saying. Millennials are already doing it. So yeah, I think didn't isn't Socrates the one that said that writing is making all the kids lazy? You aware of that?
No.
Yeah, he's quoted as saying that, because he had a bunch of shit memorized, right? And all this new generation below him was writing everything down, right? And he's like, that's making them all. So no matter what, old people are gonna hate the new thing, and that never stops. And so maybe that's what's going on. What do you think ours will be?
I mean, I've already seen mine. Mine is without a doubt when I'm just sitting here, and like I'm thinking about like, not that this is like my average day of sitting down and thinking about Blink 182, but like sitting down and thinking about my generation's music and just being like yeah, we had some good music back then, and then I like turn to my daughter who's like shaking around like a fucking dancing cactus to APT by Bruno Mars and whatever her name is, Rosé, and I'm just like watching her and I'm like, this song sucks.
I mean that is
my thing right now, where I just like, I listen to music now, and it's like, you remember the time when people were doing penis music or whatever it was called?
Penis music.
Yeah, where it was like extra goofy, and it was just like, it was like slapstick cartoon noises.
No, I don't know what you're talking about at all. I love it. I don't know what you're talking about.
Hold on, let me see if I can find it real quick. But, That's like what it feels like to me, where I'm just like, I'm listening and I'm like, oh my god, what am I hearing right now?
You're listening to pop. Pop has always, for the last 100 years, pop has always been shit.
Yeah, is this it right here? Turn that down real quick. I think I found it right here. Dude, baseball is cooler than ever. Let me see. Turn it down a little. Yeah, okay. So this is what I'm talking about. And you'll kind of get an idea of what I'm talking about. Is that's what that stuff sounds like to me.
This is brain rot.
That's okay. How it feels, though. I feel like I'm listening to brain rot. And there's times like I remember watching like Yogscast, or even sooner than that, I remember watching like Numa, and I remember Charlie Bit My Finger. I remember Magical Trevor on E-Bomb's World, dude. I remember some of the brain rot stuff I was watching. And to me, I could go back and watch that now. It'd be like, yeah, it still hits. But like, I watch her, like, I'll watch the girls watch something on YouTube. And I'll just kind of look for a minute and be like, this is horrid.
You don't think Skibidi Toilet hits?
That's a great example of something that I'm just like, because it's not just Skibidi Toilet. It's Skibidi everything else. Like, why is...
I think it's fine. I think it's fine. I don't think it's... I think... Here's the thing, right? Now, to be fair, this is unique in that the internet is unprecedented in the way that everyone could share everything they're thinking of all the time with everyone on Earth. That's crazy.
That is true.
So, you know what I mean? This is the kind of stuff that our parents did not have to deal with. So, maybe it's a problem, but I don't know. I think it's fine. I think that humans are resilient and we'll figure this out. I think we'll figure out what's going on.
Well, and you know what? Here's the big difference, right? The big difference is you asked about, you know, what will that thing be for us?
Yeah.
I'm simply pointing out what I have recognized is that for me, but I also know that it would be cringe of me to be like, this is terrible. Turn it off.
So yours is brain rot. You think things are a little brain rotted.
Sure, but I also understand that it's like, I'm not just gonna be like, yeah, this is terrible. Like, I was watching Salad Fingers as a kid, dude.
Yeah. That was a little brain rotted.
That was complete brain rot. But like, I remember it fondly. I remember it being funny. I remember Charlie the Unicorn being funny. But like,
Charlie.
And llamas with hats. Like, I remember this stuff being really funny, but now I look at what they're watching and I'm like, you know what? It's the same. It's a new generation, but it's all the same.
Yeah. I think that's my point is that, which is fine. It's fine.
Exactly. That's the problem, right? Is our generation, I feel like we had to deal with parents that weren't accepting of that. We had to deal with parents that were, especially, I think Gen X probably got it just as bad as we did, was we had parents that were like, I'm turning that off, and then would slap us. And we're like, it's like, and that is crazy to me. And so I look at my situation, and I'm like, yeah, I can watch what they watch and be disappointed. But
you watch a lot of what they you primarily consume as far as movies and TV go, children's shows, right?
I mean, you have seen my setup, my current setup.
That's brain rot. That's yes. So I'm glad we're getting onto that. Actually,
it can't be avoided.
Well, I don't know if that's true. There's no thing you could do to make that. There's nowhere you could. It's impossible, is what you're saying. that's what you're telling me.
I'll tell you this much. I am so chronically on my, and this, I mean, we'll just continue to get into the weeds of it. I'm so chronically online that stepping away from my computer is almost impossible.
Yeah, I see that.
It is a problem, because there are times where I sit down, I turn my laptop on, I look at my Discord, and I'm like, oh, are my friends online? And it's like, no. And all my head is telling me is, they'll be on eventually.
But you're not wrong.
I'm not wrong, but I shouldn't. It's unhealthy for me to sit at my computer and sometimes do nothing. Just sit. And my computer's just on. And I'm just like sitting here like I have nothing, like a robot that has its power turned off.
I get it though, dude. Yeah, no, it's not. I think there's some problems. Cause like, so for me, where I live alone, I have noticed that I cannot exist in silence. Like, if I'm not at my computer watching something or in my bed watching something, I have to have an earbud in playing a podcast or a YouTube video or The only moment that I'm not listening to something is when I'm asleep. Like when I'm going to sleep, and when, you know, it, like as soon as I wake up, there is audio playing of not never really of music, but of, you know, of something. Have you noticed that about yourself or is it different because you live with people?
Can I say that challenge you gave me to go to sleep and
fall asleep. Forgot about that.
I cheated.
Okay.
before I went to bed, I took a baclofen, a muscle relaxer.
Okay.
And I took that late in bed, and I was like,
I still won the bet, though.
You
added levels to it, but it's...
However, you have done something else to me since then.
Oh, okay.
I've challenged myself now at this point. I don't turn on YouTube at all when I go to bed anymore. I just put my phone on my table, and I just go to bed. And I lay down. I just kind of like close my eyes, lay on my back if I can, and just try to go to bed. And it's actually been some of the best sleep I've gotten over the past like 4 to 5 days.
Oh, man.
It's crazy how effective that is as a way to go to bed. And like,
what's unfortunate, I know you're telling the truth and I hate it. It's, I know that's true because I've done that before. I just get so sad if I'm
that's what it is. And that's what it is when I'm at work, right? Is when I'm at work, it's so incredibly quiet. The only thing I hear is the humming of like my NAS right next to me. Outside of that, it is pure silence. And I'm just sitting there and I just want to like explode.
You don't have earbuds?
Well, that's the thing. I didn't have music for the first like week of work when I was going in. And the second week, I noticed it on like that Monday or Tuesday. And I was just like, oh, this will not do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started bringing earbuds in. And now it's like noticeable when I don't have music or something going.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
And it's like, it's not even like I have turned on to bring up an example. Dude, because it's always good to bring up another podcast when you're doing a podcast. When I listened to Lemonade Stand on Thursday, I turned it on and I was just listening. I rewatched it on Friday just because I was like, I didn't hear a word. I absorbed none of that information that I was given.
Yeah.
And then I rewatched it and I actually listened and I was like, wow, that's actually a really interesting episode. But it's like, that's kind of how it's been treating me, is it's just, I just need noise sometimes.
Well, dude, that's why I listen to ASMR sometimes. I just need, I'm right there with you. I totally get it. And especially, I mean, if I don't make an effort to like, right now where I'm not in classes, to like go see my mom, I'll go days without human contact if I've got food in my fridge. It, like, other than you and I talking on Discord or like my mom calling, like in person contact, I'll go like 4 days, especially in the heart of winter. And so I was like, if I don't have sound or some kind of stimuli, I like go stir crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I completely agree, because it's just like, there are times where I catch myself just like slipping into the madness.
Like the recesses of your mind, and it's terrifying.
Dude, I think it was the other day, I was watching a YouTube video and it ended while I was in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And I had my headphones for my computer on. Both girls were outside playing. And I was just in the kitchen with my headphones on, nothing. And I just like sat there and I actually for like a solid 5 minutes contemplated my own death. I was like, what is going to happen when I die? And like it went dark and I was just like, I need something else.
I need
the complete history of Bionicles right now.
Yes, sir. I know that's right. Yeah, no, I'm right there. Dude, it's just how it is. I mean, it's like I've had that where I've just sat here and I'm just like, this is too much for a fellow like me.
Yeah.
Do you think that you could re-listen to this and it would accomplish that?
That is an excellent point. Because to bring up the past, when we did the podcast before, I went and listened back to that. And it's funny how much I got right about stuff. But
when we did like Divinity playthroughs or like
no when me and my brother did the podcast.
The few
episodes we did.
Yeah. I'm
trying. Going back and listening to that, it's a lot more eerie to hear your own voice giving information.
Yeah.
So when I have gone back and listened to my own stuff or like watched my own like Twitch clips or anything, I often am just like sitting there kind of like contemplating. I'm just like, oh, this is me. I can't listen to me.
Yeah. I listen to me all on my voice. I'm just like, man, I hate it.
Yeah. It is that is funny because I've thought about that where it's just like, what am I supposed to do? I'm listening to myself, and now I'm. It's funny to kind of put it into perspective. I'm listening to myself while listening to myself. If that makes sense.
I think so. Yeah.
Because your like inner voice is also trying to like capture information. So you're also thinking to yourself while listening to something, and you're like, all right, this is maybe a little much.
Yeah. Maybe that's why do you think if you were an actor you'd watch your own movies?
See, that is another excellent like point to that. Is I don't think I would. And I think I would either. There are so many people who are like, you never saw your own movie? You were in it. And it's like, yeah, I was in it.
Yeah.
Do I but need you know to who's, watch it?
Who's famous for always watching their own movies?
Shia LaBeouf.
No, well, maybe. I don't know. But Samuel L. Jackson says he watches all of his movies.
That's funny.
And that kind of rings true to me.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
He feels like the kind of guy to do that.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I agree. I think... I don't know. I wonder if that's other people. I would be interested to hear if that's other people or if that's like a, because we have depression, it's like
Yeah.
You think so? Like, I think, because I'm wondering if that's a human thing or if it's like, because like when I picture like my mom is crazy. She drives for business often, right? And so she'll drive like 2 or 3 hours one way.
Yeah.
You know, all the time. And I'm like, and one day I asked her, I was like, what do you listen to? And she was like, oh, nothing. And I was like no radio or anything. And she's like, no. And I'm like, you drive this completely in silence. And she was like, usually, unless I like get a phone call. And I'm just like, that's crazy. You're raw dogging this drive. That's crazy.
Yeah. But you have said the same thing to me though.
Hmm.
You have gone on record saying the exact same thing to me when I was talking about music and being like, yeah, I always have to have like music playing or something. And I mean, this was a long time ago, but you were like, yeah, no, I can just get in the car and drive. I don't need music. And I'm just like, that's crazy.
I'm a different fella. I'm in a lot worse place.
That was a different guy.
I was a different river. The difference is, though, is I still don't, music still doesn't fill the void for me. So, like, if I'm just in my house, I need words. to focus on, to for my brain to latch on to. If I just have music is the same as silence, because if it's just music, then my brain can like start feeding me shit that I do not want to think about or hear about. Whereas if I'm listening to like Lemonade Stand, then I'm listening to the words and my brain isn't so eager to be annoying. You know what I mean? So,
gotcha.
So, you know, I'm still kind of like that with music, but now I do not often raw dog a drive anymore. I usually have either an audiobook or a podcast going.
Will you continue to call it raw dog? I'm just curious.
Obviously.
Okay.
You think I'm not raw dogging this podcast as we speak?
All right.
You
think I'm not...
Do you think I'm not raw dogging your ear holes through the audio waves? You're wrong. You're wrong, dog.
I'm watching you at negative 6.1 decibels do it right now.
Oh, no. Oh, no. That's what's
happening right now.
He's raw dogging the equalizer.
As I turn it down more.
Oh, no.
Welcome to the solo cast.
It's such a good... You know exactly what I'm saying, though. It's so good.
I know.
it does everything I need. My ass is out here raw dogging the English language. I think we're good. I think we
stop raw dogging the English language right now.
I think that's a good spot.
That's a good spot. You think so?
I think so.
I think that's not a bad idea. That's not a terrible idea. Well, yeah, I think that's a good spot to discontinue the raw dogging, if possible.
No, sir.
No. This will continue. This will only get worse.
Episode 2 will pick right back up where we left off.
I'm so excited for it. I guess we'll call that episode 1 for now. Move on next time and then kind of continue to solve things as we have so eloquently this time around.
Yeah, yeah.
So probably next time we'll have a name, I think. We'll kind of have an identity and go from there.
I got an idea.